today on Real Radio.
If it escalates, Dr. Red, could it be the possible formation or the fulfillment of the Ezekiel battle?
Well, it certainly could be.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we present a very special program. You know, because of tensions ramping up with Israel's enemies in the Middle East, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, thought it might be helpful to address these issues with a scholar from Liberty University, whose area of expertise is specifically Bible prophecy. Pastor Jack?
Well, thank you, Davey. We've got with us today a very special treat on our program. In fact, we thought it was so important that we would preempt our normal teaching in the book of James right now that's airing across the nation and, for that matter, around the world on Real Radio. But we have a very special guest with us on the phone. He's a man that is known for his excellent Bible teaching, his scriptural accuracy. I can tell you that he is a profound and sought-after speaker. We've had him here at the church numerous times. He is also a tremendous and anointed and blessed faculty member, teacher at Liberty University. He's also, for those of you who are audience listeners, that you've tuned in, you've watched The King is Coming telecast with Dr. Ed Heinsohn, probably the best program out there today on Bible prophecy. So again, Dr. Ed Heinsohn is with us. Dr. Ed, it's great to have you on the phone with us right now.
Thank you, Pastor Jack. It's always great to be with you, and we're both excited and concerned about what's happening today in the Middle East and around the world, how it may play into what the Bible actually predicts about future events.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And again, the urgency is what's happening with Israel, specifically also with Iran. And we know from the Bible, in fact, Dr. Ed and I will be talking and referencing either verses themselves, or we will be paraphrasing portions of Scripture regarding what's taking place in Israel. Now, the reason why we're so interested in the Israeli and the Iranian connection and the threats that are being lobbied back and forth across the borders is that Iran does not go by Iran in the Bible. It goes by Persia in the Bible. And so it's interesting because when we talk about Persia, we are also talking about one of the countries of the Bible, one of the Holy Land nations, if you think about it, lands of the Bible. And so Persia right now, Iran today, they are announcing, and they have been announcing for some time, that Israel is going to cease to exist, that the current leadership that's there and the ayatollahs that are controlling the religious aspect of Iran, they have vowed, Dr. Ed, to remove Israel and cast Israel and all the Jews into the sea. Now, we've heard threats like that before. We've heard that from Adolf Hitler and from others. But what do you think, Dr. Ed, is the significance right now at this time of our lives, Bible prophecy? Why should we pay attention to Persia and Israel at a time like this?
Well, it's interesting. If you go back into the Bible itself, one of the first major threats to exterminate the people of Israel came out of Iran. Back in the book of Esther, the Persian Empire had conquered the world. They conquered Babylon. The Jewish people were living in Babylon at that time as captives, and the Persians were of a mind to release them, allow them to return to Jerusalem, reestablish their country, and the Persian emperor, Cyrus, gave an edict that said they could do that. But a generation or so later, when Xerxes was the Persian emperor in the book of Esther, he has an advisor named Haman, who is trying to talk him into passing an edict to exterminate all the Jews. So an Iranian hatred toward Israel is not something new. This has actually happened before in the Bible. The whole messianic line of Christ would have been at stake in the days of Esther, and God eventually used this unique young woman to intervene and spare the lives of the Jewish people. Certainly the Jews take threats to their existence seriously. They took Haman seriously because they knew he meant business. Adolf Hitler had to be taken seriously And yet early on, there were even Jewish people saying, he's just a little man with a big mouth. He's blustering around, promoting German nationalism. You don't have to take him seriously, but he was serious. And, of course, eventually perpetrated the Holocaust that led to the loss of 6 million Jewish lives. So when they look at Ahmadinejad today, the leader of Iran, little man, big mouth, they think the same thing. Here's another Haman. Here's another Hitler. We can't just fluff this off. We have to take this seriously. This guy really intends to try to destroy us.
Boy, I tell you, with what you were just saying, my mind just went off on several different directions on how this could all play out, because you so rightly just stated, in fact, if history were to look at the nations of the world, and for that matter, the specific leaders of the world, as you pointed out, Hitler and Haman, when you look at what comes of them for having thought in their minds, schemed up a plan to go against God's people, they all come to ruin. I mean, you can look at the global governing empires of antiquity, and they're all gone today. Israel remains. And, you know, specifically in a personal sense, you look at Haman, he's gone. Hitler, he's gone. But most recently, we all remember that it was Saddam Hussein that was lobbing Scud missiles to Tel Aviv. I mean, he wasn't even at war with Israel. He was fighting us and the European coalition. And what did he do? He pointed his Scud missiles towards Tel Aviv and Haifa, because there is an agenda, isn't there, Dr. Ed? There's a religion, there is an ideology, there is a belief, in fact, coming out of the Quran and the Hadiths of Islam, that Israel must cease to exist, that it is a threat to the global caliphate that, according to Islamic law, must be established. And Israel is the fly in the ointment, as it were. So I think it's very significant what you pointed out, because one of the great reasons is God says, once I bring my people back into the land of Israel once again, in the latter days, Amos speaks of this, and Ezekiel speaks of this, that they shall never again be uprooted. And so as we look at what might be taking place here, the formation of at least a regional war, it could be very quick because of the magnitude of weaponry that we know about. If it escalates, Dr. Ed, could it be the possible formation or the fulfillment of the Ezekiel battle?
Well, it certainly could be. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, the prophet in verse 8 and verse 16 says, in the last days or the latter days, this battle will take place. And he names a number of nations coming against Israel, literally from every direction, from Magog in the north to Kush or Sudan in the south, Libya to the west and to the east. Persia or Iran seems to be a major player in the battle. Now, one could say, well, it's just a coincidence that all these countries right now have an anti-Israel policy, but it certainly seems like it's much more than coincidental. I think we're seeing, if nothing else, the stage being set for the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. Will this be a precursor to the big one? It may be, or it may lead to the big one itself. Sometimes you can be so close to something you can't see it. Like the guy that's lost in the forest, he's so close to the trees, he loses sight of the forest after a while, doesn't know where he is. I think we can be so close to seeing these events fulfilled, we can hardly comprehend that we're right there. I think we have to be careful not to run ahead of God, like date setters, but at the same time, we don't want to be prophetic scoffers with our hands blinded over our prophetic eyes saying, well, I don't see anything happening today that looks like we're moving toward the end. I would say the opposite. I see everything happening today that would indicate we're moving toward the time of the end.
Oh, that's really well put and well balanced. Dr. Ed was referring to Ezekiel chapter 38, and specifically in verse 16, friends, listen to this. It says there that you will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog. That's G-O-G, the leader of this coalition of nations that Dr. Ed was mentioning. And in fact, those nations are mentioned earlier on in Ezekiel 38. The Bible tells us there, as Dr. Ed mentioned, Persia is going to be there. We know that's Iran. Ethiopia is Ethiopia. We know Libya is mentioned here. What's interesting, as Dr. Ed mentioned, is that the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel are now all Islamic nations dedicated to the extinction of Israel. In fact, one of the parts that had been missing for a long time, if we keep reading Ezekiel, was Turkey. Turkey was a nation that had been enjoying good communication, good relationship with Israel. But in the last approximately 2 years, Turkey has taken a radical turn. It has now become hostile toward Israel. And so listen, friends, we want to keep our eyes, as Dr. Ed was saying, in the Bible. Look at the world events, the things that are taking place, but with Bible open. And if we have the Word of God open, we will not be led astray by date setters, but nor will we be caught off guard. You know, Jesus said to watch and be ready. Jesus said that when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. So this is an amazing time. Now, we want to talk a little bit about some of the specifics that are going on right now in Israel. We know that at various Air Force bases in Israel, for example, there is a host of U.S. aircraft that have been there now for about 3.5 months. And I'm not saying anything today that is secret. You can find these things if you look hard enough. But we know that that is an increasing amount of inventory, U.S. inventory there. We know that there are some troops from the U.S. forces down in the southern regions of Israel. Now, some might say that this is for military training purposes, and I do understand that logic. What we want to keep in mind is that there is a great reason why Israel is important to us. Regardless of this current administration's view on things, our national leaders in the military understand that the first line of defense for us, friends, is the nation of Israel. They are, as it were, the front line of this war on terror. Now, we look at it from the news side as being a war on terror, but at the same time, we always want to look, as I was saying earlier, through the lens of Bible prophecy. And when you look at Bible prophecy, and I love how Dr. Ed says it, and Dr. Ed, if I say it wrong, correct me, but when you were speaking here one time, you said that God gave us Bible prophecy not to scare us, but to prepare us. Can you elaborate on that? Because I love that whole concept, that view.
Well, the idea there is that some people look at Bible prophecy and they say, wow, some of these things at the end of the world look pretty rough. Well, at the very end, they are, but that's for the unbelievers, not for the believer. Prophecy's not written to scare us. It's written to prepare us to say, you can be ready by knowing the Lord as your Savior. You know that you're ready to go when the trumpet sounds, the archangel shouts, that you're on your way home to be with the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're irresponsible about dealing with the world in the meantime. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel, win the world, build the church, live righteously in a unrighteous culture to try to be a light in the darkness and make a difference. But at the same time, we recognize the world is not spinning out of control. We realize the depravity of human beings left to themselves, but in reality, what we know about the future is God is on the throne, God is in control, and eventually we win. That God is leading us and directing us in his future plan, and at the same time, we've got an eye in the Bible. We look at the news through the lens of the Bible. We're not looking at the Bible through the lens of the news, and that's where the balance has to be. And when it's there properly, that's all the difference in the world.
Oh, that's excellent. Exactly, exactly true. You know, listen, those of you who are just joining us midstream in our program today, we've preempted our study in the book of James because of what's taking place in the Middle East right now. As Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who's on the phone right now out of Liberty University, a great Bible teacher. In fact, he is going to be speaking at our prophecy conference here at Calvary Chapel on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And you're going to want to attend. If you're anywhere in the region, you're going to want to attend. I just got an email the other day from a British SAS officer. He's a covert operator for the British SAS. He emailed me and he said, I was looking at your website here outside of London where he lives. And he said, I just booked my flight to this conference. He said, I can't get enough of this. And so listen, if this guy can come from London, England, and make the time to break away from his military commitments, my friends, if you're anywhere in the United States, you ought to make your way here on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th with Dr. Ed Heinsohn, myself, Mark Hitchcock, General Jerry Boykin, Miles McPherson, and Charlie Campbell, who is a great Christian apologist. And we're going to have a tremendous time, but I can't wait to hear Dr. Ed again. Dr. Ed stirs our hearts every time he speaks. Dr. Ed, I want to ask you something really quick here regarding the issue of Hezbollah, for example. Hezbollah in the news is reported as being one of the arms of the Persian or Iranian terrorist organization in the sense that they fund Hezbollah. Hezbollah, of course, operates out of Lebanon, based there. Nasrallah is its leader. Again, one vowing, as Dr. Ed put it, little guy with a big mouth. He actually is a little guy with a rather large mouth, I might add. And he wants Israel to be annihilated. So one of the interesting things about this is that many in Israel today, military strategists are saying that one of the signs of an impending war in Israel may very well be border incursions from Hezbollah in the north, at the same time Hamas in the south trying to distract Israel, both from its northern and southern borders, and with that, that there may be some sort of an attack. Of course, these are speculations, but what we're looking at is a land, my friends, that God has said he will defend Israel in the last days. Now, what's very interesting about all of this is that God's word has been given to us that we might know these things. The Bible tells us that the sons of Issachar knew and understood what Israel ought to do. They were discerning the course in which Israel should take. And as a church, as a Christian today, you need to know Bible prophecy. You need to know also the hope of Bible prophecy. When I say the hope of Bible prophecy, I'm going to ask Dr. Ed to share a little bit about what is our blessed hope. As a believer, you need to understand that when you see these things threatening, know that our citizenship, our life here, is one that is to be completely sold out to ministry purposes, not for some thought of eternal comfort. We are not yet home, Christian. We have not yet arrived. And so, Dr. Ed, can you talk to the audience right now about, at a time like this, why the return, the imminent return of Jesus, is so biblical and so exciting for us?
Well, Jesus himself said this in Luke 21. When these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Now, he himself had just given a long series of statements about crisis and conflict that would occur in the last days. So there's both bad news and good news in Bible prophecy. The bad news is the world left to itself would ultimately destroy itself. And unfortunately, we're living at a time when the weapons of mass destruction that could accomplish that have already been invented. So that alone ought to tell us we've taken huge steps toward the time of the end. At the same time, Jesus reminded the believers that he would come back for us. So when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head with hope and anticipation. Your redemption draws nigh. The Redeemer is coming. The Savior is coming. So the promise in the Bible is always God will see you through the conflicts, the crises, the problems of your own experience. But at the same time, he will ultimately come for his church to call us home to heaven to be with him. In the meantime, we live out our life in a fallen world, but with great hope and great confidence. God is on the throne. He knows what he's doing. Jesus is coming again, and it's all under his direction.
Oh, friends, listen, what Dr. Ed just said is extremely important for a lot of reasons, but one of those things is this. I'm a little bit troubled by what I'm hearing as I speak at conferences on Bible prophecy. Someone will come up to me inevitably and say, Pastor Jack, yeah, the world's getting worse, and the Middle East is coming undone, and our government's crashing, you know, and the dollar's imploding. The Lord's coming back to get us out of here, right? And I have to answer that carefully, because I'm sorry to say that in the West, there seems to be some form of belief that the Western church will never experience any difficulty or hardship or pain or persecution. And I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I'm not saying that we must go through persecution, but Jesus did say that in this world we will have tribulations, not the great tribulation, but day-to-day tribulations. And so what I want to encourage all of you to keep in mind, right now as Dr. Ed and I are on the program and you're listening in, we are hearing from, for example, the Ministry of Voices of the Martyrs, VOM. That ministry is now saying that there are more Christians dying right now annually than at any other time in recorded history on a global scale. Is that true? Is it not true? We don't know, but the technology is now here for us to monitor that there's some 350,000 Christians a year dying for their faith. Jesus loves them too. He didn't forget them, and he didn't abandon his word to them. There will be persecution, and there will be suffering, there will be hardship. What we must always do, my friends, is keep our eyes focused on Jesus. If persecution comes or not, the Lord is going to come for us, and we are to be watching and looking for him. At the same time, there will be that moment when he arrives, and the scripture says that he will deliver us from that great hour that will come upon the earth to try all men who dwell upon it. And so we're talking about the rapture of the church, a doctrine that is often today neglected. Far too many churches today ignore it. But the Bible, in fact, I believe Jesus himself taught it in John chapter 14 when he announced, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." My friends, Jesus is coming back. It could be today, but if it's not today, be ready. And be ready to do this as well. Be busy about our Father's business. You know, Dr. Ed, I was back in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, and I was involved in a gathering about America's future, and a young man came up to me and he said, "What are you doing here? You believe that the Lord could come back today?" And I said, "That's right." He goes, "Well, what are you doing here? We're looking at a 5 to 10 year strategy." And I said, "Because I believe the Lord could come back today, that's why I'm at this conference. Because I want to be busy about my Father's business, because the day that he comes, I want to be interrupted by the Lord himself." You said it earlier, Dr. Ed, we should not sit around with white robes waiting for the Lord's return and accomplishing nothing. We should be busy.
Exactly. It's often been said, those that are the most heavenly minded are the ones that have done the most earthly good. And I think you'll find, contrary to the objection that's often raised, that if you guys believe in the rapture, you're not going to do anything in the meantime. That we're going to do everything we can in the meantime, because we realize how short the time is. If you really thought Jesus isn't going to come back for several hundred years, then why bother? Let it run its course, etc. But you can't let it run its course. Too many things are on the horizon right now, predicted in the Bible about the future. Yes. Israel is already back in the land. End times prophecy indicates they have to be there for those prophecies to be fulfilled. They're already there. Secondly, there's a crisis in the Middle East. Every Bible prophecy about the end times says the final conflicts will all come in the Middle East. Thirdly, weapons of mass destruction have already been invented that can be used to practically destroy the world. That's the threat in the time of tribulation. Those three things alone tell me we've taken giant steps toward the time of the end. We need to realize there's a major spiritual conflict going on the horizon. We pray for peace. We work for peace. We hope for peace. We hope for more time to serve the Lord, but we live our lives realizing life is short, time may be short, and time is of the essence. We can't wait to do what needs to be done. It needs to be done right now.
Oh, Dr. Ed, well put. Well, listen, we're out of time right now, but thank you for being with us today. You took time out from your busy schedule there at Liberty University.
Thanks, Jack. I look forward to being there. God bless you.
This is just a foretaste of the Prophecy Conference. For more information, you can go to our website, SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com, to get all the details.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.